we're going to actually skip the sixth shear. If you are following the book, we're going to skip the sixth shear, because the sixth shear is really about being mechanech children and teachers and children and parents and children, how to deal with children and their failings and guilt and things like that. For the group we have right now, it's not so relevant. Mirz Hashem, in the right time. But right now, it's not so relevant. So we're going to skip to the seventh shear. And this is really the rest of the sichos, the rest of the talks in the Sefer are about this theme, and that is self-awareness. How to become aware of who you are, your Yetzer Hara, your Kochos, your potential inside, and how a person is able to grow by becoming a more self-aware. It's probably, according to Rabbi Stein, the editor, is the most important yesod of Rabbi Hoffman's. The most important thing that he talks about is learning to know about yourself, who you are, and what you're made up of. And it's essential for anyone who wants to develop their kochos ha-nefesh and what's inside of them. And this is something that Rabbi Hoffman learned from his Rebbe, Rav Yitzhak Isaac Scher, who we've quoted from enough times, Ador Shimon Slabatka, who said there's no reason to be scared of the Yetzer Hara. There's no reason to be scared of failure, of messing up. And instead, you need to know how to work with it. You and your Yetzer Hara are inseparable. He's not going anywhere, and nothing's going to happen to it. And therefore, we need to learn how to get along with it and how to work with it in the best way. There's no difference between being aware of your positive traits or your negative traits. It's all the same. We obviously want to be positive, we want to focus on positive things, but what you come to become aware in your body and inside your neshama are your good things and your bad things. It's just about the totality of knowing who you are and the foundation of any growth. And he explains that a person doesn't have to be scared of taiva, of desires, kinna, jealousy, kavod, and honor. You need to learn about yourself and know how these things relate to you. How does kavod relate to you in your life? How do you deal with needing to feel honored? How do you deal with envy of other people? And how does that relate to who you are as a person? Understand how these particular midos and attributes play out inside of you. And then this becomes an extension of that discussion, our first discussion about failure and sin. And that goes back to our beginning talks here, that the more you know about yourself, you'll be much more in a position and have the tools available to not be scared of failure, to not be scared of chet, once you become more knowledgeable about yourself. And he explains that without knowing yourself, good and bad, you're not going to be able to work with the Yetzer Hara. And he says a great example is in the Rambam. He says the Rambam talks about people's taiva for money very often. The Rambam often speaks about the desire to have more money, more cash in the bank, to acquire more goods. And the Rambam explains that not all desires for money are the same. I think sometimes we think of, when I was a little kid, there was a cartoon, DuckTales. So in DuckTales, so the uncle, who's very wealthy, he like goes swimming, like in his vault of coins, like gold coins. And we have this idea that a person who wants money is just obsessed with cash, wants to have as much as they can, and it's all the same. And the Rambam says it's not true. He says there are people who have a taiva for pleasures. They want to have nice things in life. They want to go on super nice vacations. They want to stay in super nice hotels. They want to have very, very nice pleasures around them all the time. But that costs money. Meaning, they're not into money. They're into having nice things. And the only way you can have nice things is if you have money. So a person needs to be aware of where they're coming from. And that's the issue is of taiva, of desire, not with money. A person who wants to go out to a fancy restaurant for lunch and dinner 6 days a week doesn't have an issue with money. They have an issue with controlling their taiva. The second type of person that Rambam talks about is a person who wants kavod. They want honor. And the way they feel that they'll get kavod is if they're being called up to be honored at this year's dinner and they're getting a lot of people coming to the house for Mishloach Manos Matanos Avyonim by Purim, and they get a sense of kavod. But what's going to give them kavod? Money. If they have money, then people will honor them for their money. And then you have people who will, then you'll have people who will just hoard money for the sake of money, because having money makes them happen, and this is the actual taiva for money. So says Rabbi Hoffman, we see that just because you look from afar and a person says, I need to have more and more money, we need to go beneath the surface. Why do you want more money? What's driving that? And the person who knows their kochos and nefesh, what's inside of them, can now direct and deal better with understanding what's behind their desire for that particular thing. He explains, l'mashal, it's like three people who have fever. No, one person has a sore throat and he has fever. The other person has pneumonia and he has fever. And the last person has an infection in the foot and they have fever. It's true they all have fever. But you can't treat the fever properly unless what? Unless what? You know what's causing the fever. Is it the pneumonia? Is it the sore throat? Or is it the foot infection? So the same thing over here. We all have issues that we're struggling with, we need to deal with, and we all have things that are about our personalities that we'd like to improve and get better at. But what's driving it? What's beneath the surface that's making us behave this way? And you can't deal with the fever, you can't deal with the issue, unless you figure out what's causing it. The only way to deal with the midos is understanding ourselves. And without knowing yourself, it's like trying to fix a car without knowing how an engine works, right? Your car's not starting, so you open up the hood, but you've never seen the engine of the car before, and you start fiddling around with what's going inside. Are you going to, if you start taking out, you know, pliers and scissors and start cutting things, are you going to help your situation? No, you're probably going to make it much, much worse. You're not going to have a car for the next 2 weeks at least. So, says Rabbi Hoffman, it's the same thing. When you start fiddling with your kochos hanefesh, when you start fiddling with what's going inside your brain, what's going inside your heart, and you don't know what to do, you can mess yourself up more. You could either get involved in taking medications that aren't good for you, and medicines that aren't appropriate, you can get advice that's not healthy for you, you can do something that would be not constructive for your situation, but destructive. It's like fiddling with an engine, you don't know anything about cars. So you need to learn about yourself and what's going on beneath the hood. All of a sudden in a person's life, a battle emerges about kavod. I never had this feeling before. I never had this desire for honor. It never spoke to me in any way. And all of a sudden I'm into money, and all of a sudden I'm envious of this person. I never had this feeling before. And it just sparks up, like a fire just bursts up out of nowhere, and we don't understand where it came from. How can you withstand this battle without self-knowledge? If I don't know myself, what am I going to do when something comes out of left field and I'm unprepared? So let's read a letter from Yisrael Salant in the Or Yisrael. So let's read the letter together. He says, this is Igeres Yudzayim. He says, Kedoma ha'ish ha'masmid bilimudo mitzad hergelo v'tivo. A person who's in there learning, he's a maspid because it's part of his nature, it's part of who he is. Yesh lo koach nister ha'mishtokek l'kesef. Deep down inside, he has a desire for money, right? You have a guy who's been sitting in yeshiva learning 15, 16, 17 years, and all of a sudden one day, he's like, oh, I need more money. Like, I want to have more money. I want to have more money in the bank account. V'akoach enu nikar. But beneath the surface, he doesn't know what's going on. Ya'an ki ein lo derech lazeh. He has no way to fix it. He has no way to understand what's going on. Ki matzavo v'sa'aluchuso eino derech ha'mischor. Because his tahalich, his process, his situation, he's never involved in any money. This guy is, all of a sudden, wants like nice stuff. It's never been a part of him before. He's never talked about business or things like that. Velo ruk hesemiyam. The guy's never touched money in his whole life. The guy sits in base medrash all day. Memela ein la hakoch nosei b'mala achos. So now, because most of his life he never involved himself with money, this potential desire for kesef never had anything to grab onto. Because there was nothing in life that he was going to use this money for. Ki hakocho shiba'adam kozman shein lehem davar chushi b'mala achos. Your internal kochos, your midos, if they have nothing to grab onto, they have nothing to manifest themselves in this world, so nistarim heima b'pnimius hanefesh, they'll stay latent, sleeping inside of you. Bal yiru hachutza gam bal nono. They'll never be seen, they'll never be known about. You can have all types of things cooking beneath the surface inside your neshama, but if there's nothing in your life that it's going to relate to it, that it's going to cause it to grab onto, then it's going to be irrelevant. However, achein, Kasher ye eiza siba sheet sarech lachos ba mischor latareh beso kiyotze. Okay, the guy's been sitting in color for 16, 17, 20 years, and now his family says, we don't have any food to eat, we need something to do. So now it's like, oh, money. Money's important now. And really deep inside, the guy was a big bal taiva for money. It just never had an opportunity to show that anywhere because it didn't come up. But now there's a place in his life where he needs money. So what happens? Yuchal is paretz koach lazeh bekeshes hakesef. All of a sudden, inside, there's this explosion. this huge desire for money that came out of nowhere. The guy's in his 40s, never thought about money before as a value, and all of a sudden has this desire, and he's doing things he never thought about doing before, and he's trying to get more money ever realized that he ever needed. Where did this come from? Because all of a sudden, that taiva for money now has something to latch on to. There's something to work with the Yitzhahara here. Adashi yazniach kemak talmudo legamrei machmasachach hazeh. And then he's all of a sudden, in a year or two, he's out of learning. Not learning anything, not even doing the daf, nothing at all. Right? This is a big struggle for young men who leave yeshiva. Right? The guy sitting in yeshiva, went to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, was in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael or in America, he was in whatever, name your fill in the blank, whatever, you know, yeshiva in America he was in. He's sitting in kol for a little bit, and now he leaves the workforce, he leaves the yeshiva, and he goes into the workforce. And all of a sudden, in the workforce, he's into things he never thought he was going to be into, and he's watching things he never thought he was going to watch, and he's interested in topics he never thought he'd be interested in. So what happened? All of a sudden, he went from 0 to 60. He went from 0 to being interested in things he never would have occurred to him before, just because he left the Beis Medrash and he walked into an office? No. Deep down inside, in his Kochos HaNefesh, those things were already there. They just never had a place for them to play out in real life. How could I not learn? When I was in yeshiva, I was learning 9, 10 hours a day. And all of a sudden, I'm not in yeshiva anymore, and I don't have interest in learning. How did that happen? All things about us. All of a sudden, you in life are struggling with something you didn't realize you were ever interested in or that was ever meaningful to you. You were always relevant to that thing. You just never had a place for that to play out and to manifest. And now that something hooked it, it becomes part of you. Just as a side point, a great sefer for just a great sefer for like hashkafa and what it means to leave yeshiva and then go to the workforce is Rabbi Lopiansky's A Ben Torah for Life. It's really a beautiful work, and it's something that's it's obviously geared towards men, but there are yesodos in there that are just very important for that transition from being in a total Torah environment moving to a non-total Torah environment as well. So the difficulty is controlling that latent force that arises. So Rabbi Yisrael has another letter. Let's read another letter for Zosel Anser. And he says, this is the first time we encounter a nisayon. The first time we encounter a challenge in life, it's very challenging because it's unfamiliar. Going back to our original shiur, things that are unfamiliar to us are shocking. We don't know what to do in those situations. They're new to us. However, the more we see that challenge, the easier it is to deal with. And that's why latent forces, things that are beneath the surface, come out of nowhere, and they're so difficult. Let's read. He says, Achein, b'matzav tikkun ha'yitzer. When it comes to fixing the yitzer, gam b'chinas kivishas yitzro, controlling it, conquering the yitzer, bal yirapei yado mechzik ba, don't lessen up, don't weaken your hold on it. Ki amshin akar hara mikirbo. Even if a person removes something unpleasant inside of them, od ma'ayen nirpash tamun b'chibo lahakir miyamav. There will always be things inside of you that at a moment, something happens in life you didn't occur this would happen to you, it never occurred to you this would happen, something comes out and it manifests in a new way. Let's say you have a person who is a calm person. I'm sure you all know people, perhaps yourself as well. It's very calm, go with the flow, very relaxed. Nothing in life seems to shake them. Never gets angry, this person. Al kol asher naaseh, whatever happens to them. Neged rutono v'taluso, things don't go their way. You were waiting in line for 2 hours, and then the store closed, never got into there. All types of things happen. Okay, whatever, life happens, whatever, we move on. Nothing shakes this person. B'chol zos, einenu batuach b'davar gadol asher kanata l'chol yichbad alav l'savlo. Don't be too sure of yourself that you're going to be calm in every situation in life. Unless you really understand what it means to be calm and you look at your nature, understand your nature, don't trust that you're going to be calm in every situation. You're going to need extra strength to deal with that taiva, You have a person who's super calm all the time, always relaxed, never raises their voice. Then all of a sudden, they're online at the airport and the flight's canceled and they're supposed to be someplace and it's very important and they go berserk. The guy never said a bad word in their life and all of a sudden they're saying words you never heard before. And what happened? Because yes, it's true he was calm, but maybe you were never challenged in your calmness before. Maybe everything was fine and nothing ever grabbed it. But then the one thing struck up, one thing met your calmness that was not so strong, and then it just caused it to explode out of nowhere because you didn't really know yourself deeply. And he goes on to explain here as well, and he says, "Miyodea im la'eis kazos yagir l'midas ha'gvura." This is a line from Megillas Esther. And he says, "Asher bilti ha'hegel kasha l'knosa." And he says, who knows what's going to happen in life? Things are going to throw you off your game. Things are going to surprise you in life, but you weren't familiar with yourself, and therefore, because you weren't familiar with yourself, you lost control in that particular area. Rav Isaac Scher would ask Rabbi Hoffman about hypothetical questions in the future to get him to think about how he would act. He would like pepper him, and this would happen in life, how would you do? And let's say it happens one day, your kid spills the milk all over the floor, how would you react in that situation? All types of hypothetical situations, he would pepper him all the time to think about these things. What if such an event happened? Kavod, kinna, type of things like that, how would you act? Many fine people and fine families have destroyed themselves because of kavod, of, you know, kavod HaTorah, Yerusha. How come my daughter didn't get into this seminary? How could such and such a thing? And they're now going after this family and now going after this seminary, after this institution. You have beautiful families, families who get along so wonderfully. And then there's a significant or sometimes even an insignificant Yerusha inheritance. And all of a sudden siblings who were the best of friends turn into the worst of enemies. And they destroy families because of money, kavod, things they thought they were entitled to. That only happens in a place where a person has not checked their relationship to kavod, to taiva, to money, things like that. If a person prepares themselves, think about it, play a mind game. I'm not saying we should be thinking about the demise of anybody, but think about it, play a mind game. What would happen in 120 years? And, you know, it's time to divide my parents' Yerusha. How would I act with my siblings? What would happen in that situation? Would I be able to be mavater, to stand back and say, you know, if my, you know, sister wanted this piece of jewelry, would I be able to walk away and say, it's okay, you should have it, it's better to have shalom than me to have that jewelry? How would I play around the situations? It's a very, very, very big yisod of the Musar Boom, the Salant of Isaac Scher. Play out in your head future situations. Learn your kochos and nefesh. How would I act in such and such situation as well? What would I do in a place where, you know, my husband, he forgot our anniversary. He didn't buy me flowers for my anniversary. How would I react in that situation? Would I burn the house down and destroy every single thing and every single person he ever knew because he forgot my anniversary? Or would I say, you know, people forget, and you know, that's okay. Or it would be somewhere in between. Imagine to yourself how you're going to play out in those particular events that occur, and that teaches you about your kochos and nefesh, about what's going on inside. Rav Isaac Scher would push his Talmidim to get to know themselves in the Yetzer Hara. So one time, Rabbi Hoffman was sitting in yeshiva in the Beis Medrash, and somebody had come over to him and said that Rav Isaac Scher wants to have a meeting with you. He wants you to meet somebody. He wants you to get to know somebody. So at that point, Rabbi Hoffman was sitting in yeshiva, you know, 10 hours a day, learning tremendous siddurim, really, really a master, but he was very impressed with himself. And so he came to Rabbi Hoffman's house, and he sat down with Rabbi Scher. He came to Rabbi Scher's house, he sat down with him, and he started to push him about his Yetzer Hara. He started to ask him about what's going on in Yetzer Hara, what's going on inside, and Rabbi Hoffman was offended. He said, "You told me here to come for a meeting." And he arrived, Rabbi Scher told him that you do have a meeting. You have a meeting with Yetzer Hara. I want you to go on a date with your Yetzer Hara. Take your Yetzer Hara out on a date and get to know it. Learn about yourself. Learn about what's cooking inside of you for good and for bad. And Rabbi Hoffman was asked by Rabbi Scher, "Why'd you come to learn in Slobodka?" Because Rabbi Hoffman is now very offended. He said, "What's wrong with me? You think I have like such a big Yetzer Hara? I'm learning 10 hours a day. I'm such a big masmid. Like, what do you think is wrong with me? I need to come talk about my Yetzer Hara." So Rabbi Scher said, he said, "Why'd you come to learn my yeshiva? Why'd you come to learn in Slobodka?" So Rabbi Hoffman said, "Because the Rosh Yeshiva is an Adam Gadol, and I want to come learn from a big tzaddik, from an Adam Gadol." So Rabbi Scher said that the Gemara in Sukkah tells us, "Kol ha-gadol mechaveiro, Yitro Gadol Mimenu, right? Whoever is the bigger Gadol, the bigger Talmud Chacham, so that person has a bigger Yitzhara than the person who's not such a big Talmud Chacham. So Rabbi Sher said to Rabbi Hoffman, if you think that I'm such a Gadol, then certainly my Yitzhara is greater than yours, right? My Yitzhara is going to be greater than yours. And if I'm a Gadol and my Yitzhara is greater than yours, so then why are you offended that I want to talk about your Yitzhara? My Yitzhara is much bigger. I have a much bigger issue with my Yitzhara. And your Yitzhara is much, much smaller. So why should you be offended that I'm telling you it's time to learn about Yitzhara and get to know Yitzhara as well? So Rabbi Isaac Sher said that it's true that he has a bigger Yitzhara, but I have two things that you don't have, Rabbi Hoffman. I have two things that you don't have. So what are the two things? He said, first of all, I've been dealing with my Yitzhara for 60 years. So I know it pretty well. And I am familiar with its history. I know what makes me stronger, what makes me weaker. I've dealt with my Yitzhara much more than you have. In addition, he said, my Rebbe was a greater than your Rebbe. Meaning, I'm your Rebbe, he said. And my Rebbe, Rassin C. Finkel, the Alter of Slabodka, is a much greater than your Rebbe, who is me. And Rassin C. Finkel taught me about the importance of dealing with the Yitzhara. So if you're going to have complaints about me, that I want to talk to you about your Yitzhara, then you can have complaints against my Rebbe, Rassin C. Finkel, the Alter of Slabodka, who wanted to talk to me about my Yitzhara as well. And Rav Isaac Sher would speak about who is greater, a malach or a human being. I think this is a topic that's often discussed, like in Chumash classes and things like that, in Ashkafa. Who's greater, a malach or a human being? So it says in Shmos, in Perachav Beis, V'anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li, that you should be Anshei Kodesh, you should be a holy people to me. We're meant to be Anashim, human beings, with desires and struggles. To be Anshei Kodesh, to make our humanity holy. To make us as human beings holy people, to be menschlich in something that is heilig, he said. To make our humanity holy, to deal with being human beings, to be much higher than a malach. A malach is here, a malach's not going to grow, a malach can't do anything. But you as a human being can go much higher. You can make yourself holier and holier and holier and accomplish tremendous things. So then he goes on to talk about the fear of knowing your Yetzer. And he says, many people don't like feeling lo beseder. There are many people who don't like feeling that there's something wrong. Correct? We agree to this? Does anybody like feeling uncomfortable? No? Like this awkward silence. Is this uncomfortable? Nobody likes feeling uncomfortable. It's not fun to be lo beseder. So they push this aside. They tell themselves that everything is okay. But the truth is that every single person, including all of the lovely people here, have a Yetzirah, and we all have inner urges. The Vilna Gaon writes often that the Yetzirah is meant for Avodas Hashem, and just was created to, and it was created in order for us to grow. So let's read this in three places. He says, these are two places in Mishlei, and the other place is in the Evan Shlomo. He says, V'chein hu behamidos. Ki kas sarach lichbosh es hatachlis. You have to control your anger. Aval hataivos hein nisrachim avodas Hashem. Your taivas, your desires, are needed for avodas Hashem. Ulekim aguf, in order to last. But sarach lishboro sam gam shisharu eitzlo. You have to go and use them in order to control them. Ki hayetzer hara hu nitrach ma'od avodas Hashem. You need your yetzer hara for avodas Hashem. Ach shiahu kabosh tachas yado. But you have to be in charge of it. Not for something else. Says the Vilna Gaon, you got to know Yitzhara. If you don't know it, you're not going to know what to do with it. And he writes as well, Hayitzahara, Bizmanshu Kafuf Yitzhatov, Mola Yishav Olam. When you have your Yitzhara controlled and run by Yitzhatov, then you're going to be able to conquer the world. What's the point of the Vilna Gaon? The Yitzhara is not something to be scared of. You got to know it. You have to be friends with it. You have to use it to your advantage. And if you don't, you're going to be weaker. We have to remind ourselves that having a taiva and having kinna, having jealousy is normal. If you didn't have these things, you didn't have these emotions, you'd be weird. If someone came to me and said, Rabbi Rice, I'm not jealous of anybody, ever. Everybody is fantastic. I'm not jealous of anybody. I would say that you are certified strange. That's not a normal thing. every human being has a sense of kinah. That's a normal thing. And you say, ah, I have a taiva for this food. That's 100% normal. That's 100% appropriate and the right way to be. The question is how to learn to handle them in a healthy way, how to control them to your advantage. And he talks again about how awareness of something soothes the fear, that fear of failure is problematic because it breeds more failure. So you have to learn how to lessen the pach, and this is what we spoke about in the first opening shir as well. And self-awareness is a great way to calm down when there's pachad. Don't run away in shame from Yitzhara and think lowly of yourself. Get to know your personality more. Get to know yourself. Get to know what about you moves you perhaps in the ways that don't make you the happiest about who you are, and learn about them and try to bring them under your control as well. We've said again and again, the Yisod of Sol Salant, we've said this two or three times, Habaya hi lo hacheit, ela eich mismodedim ito. The issue is not the failure, the sin, the issue is, what do you do with it? And it says in Koheles, ki adam in tzadik baretz, asher yasa tov l'yachta, everybody fails. And when you fail, you're going to fall further, or you're going to remain calm and continue in the proper path. Recognizing your yetzer, being self-aware, don't running away from it. And then he talks about two things. Kvishas ha-yetzer. Kvishas ha-yetzer means overpowering it according to your ability, and a practical plan that will be easy to carry out, not to increase the struggle to the point where you'll have to fail and reach greater yeyush. You don't want to have a plan where you're going to fail and give up on yourself. And tikkun ha-yetzer, where we're pushed by the yetzer, the choice is to use it for something negative or to use it for something positive. All urges that we have can be channeled towards a mitzvah, but it's training yetzer. Kvishas ha-yetzer is controlling it. Don't eat this. Don't feel this thing. There's a time and a place for that, where you simply push it down and you say, I'm not going to listen. That's kvishas ha-yetzer. But again, you have to be careful, because if you fail there, you could become upset with yourself and become more depressed. But there's a time and a place for that. Tikkun ha-yetzer is taking your yetzer and using it in a way that's going to be helpful, that's going to be constructive. That's taking your urges, your inner desires, and using them in the proper way. The meaning, and it gives a beautiful pshat now about this expression, the Gemara in Sukkah, kol ha-gadol mechaveiro yitzro gadol himenu. Listen to what he says. He says, the meaning is that a gadol means someone who's an expert in the Yetzer Hara. The definition of a gadol means somebody who knows himself and is self-aware. They have a high level of being self-critical. So this gadol knows how great the Yetzer Hara is. So that's what it means, kol ha-gadol mechaveiro. The greater the person is self-aware, he will know how great his Yetzer Hara is. He'll understand the extent of it, and he'll treat it seriously. And therefore, a gadol who knows his kochos has the ability to help other people. When you know yourself, and you know the extent of what your potential is for good and for bad, you will be greater than other people, and you'll be in a position to guide them and to help them. Kol ha-gadol mechaveiro, yitzro gadol heimenu. The greater you are in your knowledge, the greater you are as a gadol, and being an expert in Yitzhara, you will now be in a situation to help other people's Yitzharas as well and to guide them in the right place. How did the yeshivas of Kelm, the famous Musa yeshiva of Kelm, understand your Yitzhar? So he tells a story that Rav Dov Meir Rubman was the Rosh Yeshiva Teferis Yisrael Yeshiva in Haifa, and he learned in Kelm in Europe as a young man. And he was once asked to daven mincha for the Amman to be the Chazan in Kelm, because he had a nice voice. They wanted to daven mincha for the Amman. In the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, when he's repeating the Shemoneh Esrei out loud for everybody, and, you know, when you get up to daven for the Amman, even if, you know, you've daven Shemoneh Esrei thousands of times, there's a sense of, you don't want to mess up. There's always a sense of, you know, not wanting to mess up in front of everybody to show that you know how to read Hebrew. You know, read Hebrew at a pace that's, you know, not too slow, not too fast. You want to show that you know what's going on. So in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, Rabbi Rubin made a mistake on a word. He said a word wrong, and he paused, and he corrected himself, and he moved on. And in that moment where he made that mistake in the word, his eyes looked up, and he caught the gaze of his Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Nachum Velvel. And for a moment, they caught each other's eyes. And he was embarrassed that the Rosh Yeshiva heard that he made a mistake. And in that moment, he could tell there was, like, in that split second, there was a communication that he could tell that he was embarrassed and that he had messed up. So a half hour after Mincha, Rav Nachum Velvel got up and he gave the following sicha. He gave the following shows. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Ches, Tanitana kamid Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. They taught before Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Kol hamalbim pnei chaver barabim kilu shofech damim. If you embarrass somebody in public, it's as if you have done what? You've killed. It's murdering. Amar le shapir ka amarta. They said to him, that's a good pshat. Why is it like murder? Dechazina le deazil sumka vaasi chivra. Because when you embarrass somebody, they become flush, the blood in their face becomes flush, and then it drains, and then they become white with shock from embarrassment, right? You turn red, and then the blood drains away, and you turn white. And that movement of the blood in the body, it's like murder. Just like murder is taking somebody's blood away from their body, you're causing the blood in your body to move in a way, it's ki'ilu, like a little bit of murder. That's how they understand it. So Nachum Velvel said that a person feels embarrassed when they do something improper, right? You get caught, you did the wrong thing, you feel embarrassed and you blush. The implication is that if a person blushes only once a year, they're probably okay, right? If a person blushes once a year, that means you probably are beseder in most areas. But the truth is, he said, is that we should blush over the one time where we don't fail. We have to know that we will often not congregate Tahara. Messing up is a good thing. We should be used to the fact of messing up. Because when a person fails and they mess up, they blush because how could that happen? It should be lehefech, he says. We should be so used to failing and so used to being okay with failing that we should blush when we don't mess up, that we got it right the first time. We should be very proud when we fail and we should be proud when we conquer Yitzhara and we don't get pulled down. Sometimes we succeed with the Yitzhar and sometimes we don't. But getting embarrassed every single time we mess up, it's not. We have to conquer that. We have to be used to the fact that it's okay to mess up and it's okay to fail. The Gemara in Pesachim says, Amar Rav, La'olam yasok adam b'Torah u'mitzvah. So a person should always learn Torah and mitzvos. It's backwards. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, La'olam yasok adam b'Torah mitzvos. Af al pi shalo lishma, even though it's not lishma, it's even though it's not for the right reasons, mitoch shalo lishma ba lishma. Because if you do something shalo lishma, it will come lishma, right? Your person wants to go and to do a chesed, so they originally go and sign up to do a chesed because it'll make them look good for their resume, whatever type of narishkeit, and they'll do inside the chesed to make a good look for themselves, right? But hopefully, if you do that thing that's shalom lishma, it'll become lishma, right? That's the goal at the end of the day. You end up doing it for the right reasons. So he says that there was a Hasidic Rebbe who explained it as follows. The only way to come from shalom lishma to lishma is through toch, right? Look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, Shemitoch shalom lishma ba lishma. Now, the pashup shot is, Shemitoch shalom lishma, from doing something not lishma, it will come lishma. But the Rebbe said, Shemitoch shalom lishma. The only way to move from shalom lishma is through toch. What does toch mean? Inside. Looking inside. The only way to move from A to B, from shalom lishma to lishma, is a person who is toch. Looks internally, gets to know themselves, gets to understand the Yitzhahara, to look inside and to know what they're capable of. Because if you don't learn about yourself, you're never going to grow. You're never going to learn how to go from shalom lishma, to do things for the wrong reasons, to do it only for the right reasons, unless you look toch, inside yourself, and you understand what you're about. Tells a story where we use this approach to defend the approach of different psychologists. We're not going to tell that story right now. Other therapists had issues with this approach, and he used this approach to explain why this psychologist's approach was correct. And he says that Rav Isaac Scher told him that a young person still in school should not spend a lot of energy on tikkun hamidos. A young person who's still learning, who's still not out in the workplace, not out in the world, and they have time to work on their avodas Hashem, should not focus on tikkun hamidos. Rather, they should focus on their learning, their davening, their amunah. And when Rav Hoffman came in cage, he told him that now you're ready to enter the Beis Medrash of V'yahavta L'recha Kamocha. You want to get married? So when you come married, that's the Beis Medrash. You work on your midos. You work on how you are in controlling your midos in particular. So what does that mean? Right now, you guys shouldn't be working on your midos. You guys shouldn't be working on Tikkun HaYetzer, Kvishus HaYetzer. So what does that mean? So he gives a beautiful understanding. Look at this. And he shares with us another letter, the third letter of the day, from Yisrael Salanter. Okay? So you have three letters today. The last letter on the page. He has a letter explaining how a young person should relate to working on their midos. Okay? think this is relevant for everybody here. How should a young person relate to Tikkun HaMidos and working on their Yetzirah? So let's read the letter together. He says, Gam l'kvoa zman ma'at b'limud musar. You have to have time for learning. You have to have time for learning Sifrei Musar, 100%. V'yesod limudo b'musar, the way that you learn Musar is, yaha'ikr sheyikne lo yediya b'tal luchasa. What does that mean? What does that expression mean? Yediya b'tal luchasa. It means self-awareness and learning kochas and nefesh, to know your mahalach. The way you should, what you should be spending your energy on right now, at this point in your life, is not fixing your midos, but rather knowing your midos. Your avoda at this point, where you're holding, is not to fix necessarily the issues that you have, but it's to get to know the issues that you have, what's cooking inside of your neshama. You cannot begin to talk about controlling the Yetzer until you know what you're dealing with. Young people often think that Musar means breaking their habits, working very hard. But that's a waste of energy. The first steps for a young person is what we've been doing. Giving definitions, understanding what the Yetzer is, imagination, habit, tikkun, taiva, bechira. All of these yesodos we've been talking about the last few weeks are about learning about yourself. Not fixing anything. Learning about who you are. Learn works. Learn Sifrei Musar that speak to your personality, your makeup, Shemona Prakim of the Rambam, or Yisrael. Yediyah b'tal luchasa means to become self-aware. The goal of a younger person is yediyah b'tal luchasa, to learn about who you are, not to fix it yet. That you'll develop later on as you mature more. But the main focus is to learn what you have inside. Then he says, V'im yisakeo Hashem yisparach shiyah gadol b'torah bein anashim. And then he says, if you're Zocha, you should try to be around people who are great in Torah. Try to learn from other people who have accomplished, who have grown, and who have done really great things. Kol prate inyane avodas Hashem yisparach kalafanav. And if you do that, you'll become much easier in what you're bearing in Avodas Hashem. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter wants you to know, Avodas Hashem should not be burdensome and so heavy that you can't carry it. There are ways to do it in a healthy way that become light and enjoyable. So, getting to know yourself is not breaking yourself down. Learning Sifrei Musar, Sifrei Machshava, that teach you about getting to know your personality, and become close with an individual who you respect in their Avodas Hashem, that you can learn from them and be around them. We'll talk about that more in a moment. And he talks about here as well, Yuso Naman La'adam Levakeshlo Tachbula Shal Yichbed Alav Avodasa Yisparach Kalkach, not to be so heavy. He talks about learning, having a Bekias, being familiar with Sifrei Musar, Mesil Susharim, Chavos Halavavos, so the concepts are, ideas are familiar to you. And the development of the self shouldn't be painful or hard. Daven to Hashem, you should process, your process of growth and self-discovery should be easy. And use different tricks and methods to improve your midos as well. But that's our avod at this point. The avod is to get to know who you are and to develop a deep understanding, to go on a date with your Yetzahara. To get to know it, familiar with it, and understand what you're about. He ends this, we'll end this talk, with a really great story about Roshach. Okay? So the story is as follows. He says that he would go to Rav Shach weekly to talk with him, to discuss different communal issues, people, personalities, things like that. Rabbi Hoffman lived in Yerushalayim. Rav Shach lived in Bnei Brak, Panovich. So there was an issue going on, some in Eretz Yisrael. There were two Rosh Yeshivas who were about to go to a very big Din Torah. There was about to be a big fight between the yeshivas, in the yeshivas, about some very big issue. And Rabbi Hoffman was concerned it was going to be a very, very big Chil Hashem. So he wanted to speak with Rav Shach, but he also knew that when he went to Rav Shach's house, the walls had ears. All the people in the household listened in, they paid attention to things. He tells us, gives examples at the end here. He says that Rav Shach was always very careful because he knew that the people in his house listened in on his conversations. And he was very careful about who he spoke to and how he spoke to them. And sometimes he would tell him, he would grab him by the hand and say, don't talk right now, because the walls have ears and people are listening. And he said, how does he know this? And one time he said, come with me. And they stopped talking. And he went to a different door, and he showed him to peek through the door, and he saw through the other door, on the other side of the wall, there were people listening with their ears against the wall to listen to the conversation. Because they wanted to know what Rav Shach was saying. So Rav Shach was always very careful about who he spoke to, how he spoke to about it. He was older. He was once in his house, and there was a lot of people around the table, and he was sitting next to Rav Shach, and Rav Shach had his hand on Rabbi Hoffman's hand, resting on the table. So Rav Shach began to doze off in the middle of the conversation, and the people said, "Oh, Rav Shach's tired. Everybody should get up and leave. Give him time." So they should leave the room. So Rabbi Hoffman said, "Oh." So I got up. He started to get up from the chair, and Rav Shach very quietly held his hand there. He didn't let him get up. He waited for everybody to leave, and then they continued the conversation. He was very, very conscious and aware that people listened in and wanted to know what he had to say, and he was very astute at this. So he said, "How am I going to get time alone from Shach that people shouldn't know about this big machlokas and make a chil Hashem? Because once people find out about it, they're going to spread it all over the place." So he said, "I'm going to go to Rav Shach's house at 1 o'clock in the morning." And he arrived in Bnei Brak at 1 o'clock in the morning, and he knocked on the door. And somebody answered, a grandson answered, and he said, "Is Rav Shach sleeping?" And he said, the grandson said, "Rav Shach is sleeping, sorry, can't come back. You have to come back another time." So Hoffman said, "I know your grandfather for many years. There's not a chance in the world that he's sleeping. He learns day and night. He's definitely awake." So Shach heard the conversation, and he heard that Rabbi Hoffman was there, and he saw it came all the way from Yerushalayim, and he came to the door, dressed in his pajamas. So he said, "Rav Shlomo, come in." So Rabbi Hoffman said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to wake you up. You were in pajamas. I made a mistake. I'll go back. I'll come back in the morning. I apologize." So he said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Obviously, you came 1 o'clock in the morning. You came for something very important." So Hoffman said, "Okay, it's important, but you're in your pajamas. I'll come back another time. Not such a big deal. We can talk about it later. And it's not so important." So Shach said, "You're right. I am in my pajamas. Clearly, it's not what I normally do, but I had a lot going on, so I was very tired. I have to get up early in the morning. But, come stay, we'll talk about it." So Rabbi Hoffman tried to show him, "No, you should go to sleep. I'll come back tomorrow. And Talmud Torah is more important. You have to give shir tomorrow in yeshiva. And this is not such a big deal." So Rav Shach said, "There's no way I'm going to go to sleep now. Because I know that Shlomo Hoffman drove from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak at 1 o'clock in the morning. Clearly something is very important. Stay here. We're going to talk about it. And we'll deal with it tomorrow." So they sat, Rav Shach in his pajamas, Rabbi Hoffman in his weekday clothing, and they talk about the issue, they speak about the different possibilities. And at the end of the day, Rav Shach said, "I don't know how I can help in this situation. The issue is too subtle, it's beyond what I think I can be helpful, what I'm capable of doing here. I don't know what I can do, I don't know if I can be helpful." So Rav Shach then told Rabbi Hoffman, he says, "Let me think about what a solution might be for this issue. And if I think of an idea, I'll call you and we'll discuss it. But I want you to do something careful for me." He says, "All Friday, I want you to make sure that your telephone is by your side, even within the 40 minutes of before Shabbos." You know, the Minyan Yerushalayim is light candles, 40 minutes before Shabbos. You start doing Melacha, 40 minutes before Shkia. And I want you to leave your phone on, even within those 40 minutes, because maybe an idea will come to me. And if an idea comes to me, then I want to call you, I want to tell you about it. And it's very important we have this conversation." So Rabbi Hoffman said, "I was blown away by what I saw. First, the fact that he spoke to me at 1 o'clock in the morning in his pajamas, but even more so, in the face of a possible Chil Hashem that would be a desecration to the Torah world, Rav Shach was willing and told me as a psak halacha to forego the 40 minutes of candlelighting Yerushalayim and have my phone by my side on the off chance that maybe I'll have an idea and I'm going to be thinking about it going into Shabbos to prevent a Chil Hashem, that I should call you and the phone should be readily available and not off the hook so we can talk about it and maybe we'll be able to take care of it even before Shabbos comes in." And Rabbi Hoffman says, you can learn in a person's shir, learn since their Torah for decades. But you know what? You can learn so much more in that one meeting I have about the importance of caring about people, of not making Chil Hashem, values, from getting to know a person and learning from an individual. And this is Rabbi Hoffman says, is Rabbi Sol Salantra is talking about. That the idea that you should be Shia Gadol B'Torah Bein Anashim, that you should be able to be around people who will teach you those values. It's much easier to learn about good midos and values by seeing it live in front of you, seeing how a person conducts themselves, than by reading in a book. it's much easier. If you put yourself in the homes, in the environments of people and individuals that you value how they conduct themselves, and they match what you appear to be a home of proper values, a person who conducts himself in the right way, it's much easier for your Avodas Hashem to learn that by being around them than by simply listening to them. It's much, much easier. And that's a great way to learn about your Kochos and Nefesh without picking up a book, without spending too much effort, is to be around those particular individuals. He ends here with a story. It's actually the last conversation that he had with Rav Shach. He went to Rav Shach's house, or maybe he was in the hospital at that point, and he went to Rav Shach. Rav Shach was very weak, and he said, do you remember who I am? And Rav Shach said, certainly, of course. And he said, how are you doing? And Rav Shach said, Mitsuyan, I'm doing great. So Shlomo said, what are you talking about? How are you, Mitsuyan? Like, your things are falling apart. Like, you know, you're hard for you to function. How's everything Mitsuyan? So he said, listen to this. He says, Tirei Rav Shlomo. How much longer do I have to live? Maximum chatzi sha, maybe I have a half hour left, who knows? Zahar b'ma'od, that's a lot of time. Kvar kama saros v'yisurin yitachin shiavo leben adam mitoch chatzi sha. How much terrible things can a person endure in a half hour? As lama shlo yasameach, why shouldn't I be happy? Why shouldn't I be happy? B'chatzi sha'a shenot shalit, a half hour if I have. I have a half hour left in this world, what could go wrong in a half hour? I can learn a little bit more, I can accomplish more. What could be so wrong? He was so struck in that last conversation about Rav Shach's optimism. That was a lesson in being optimistic. You could read Messias Yisharim 10 times, but you're not going to get the same lesson in optimism as you would by seeing it in the form of another piece, a form of another person, how they conduct themselves. Okay? So that is the general overview of how we become self-aware, tools to become self-aware, to go on a date with the Yetzer Hara, and to become more understanding of who we are. Okay, we'll stop here.